So we'll do those things at the right time.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, honorable Minister, Acting DG, and colleagues, we are presenting here the draft 2018-19 DAF Annual Performance Plan. Just before I get into the presentation, let me preface by emphasizing certain things. First, that this is a draft. I would like to make honorable members aware that we interact with various stakeholders in the generation of the APP, among others, DPME, who is actually the main player, but we also interact with the Auditor General of South Africa. And at the end of August, we send in to DPME the first draft every year for the ensuing financial year. Second draft, end of November, and the final draft, end of January. So as we speak, honorable members, we are still receiving inputs, final inputs of from DPME. I must also indicate, honorable chair and members, that as we were moving towards generating the APP for 2018-19, we made it a point that we interact formally with the Auditor General of South Africa. And the basis of our interaction with the AG were some of the issues that were raised in the previous financial year, some of the audit findings which relate to the smartness of indicators or the ambiguity of some of the targets and so forth. So we made it a point that this time around the Auditor General comes to our department and spends time with the respective technical line function programs such as Program 2, Program 3, Program 4, Program 5, and Program 6. So that exercise has helped greatly in terms of making sure that this time around our targets are smart, they are pointed, and that they have a relationship with the indicators. I would also want to apologize, Honorable Chair, at the beginning, just to say there'll probably be some errors, you know, typographic errors, but not many of them, though significant, and I feel that I've got to really acknowledge those typos, particularly on slide 18 and on slide 29. I just want to make honorable members that, you know, by the time when we corrected those typographic errors, we had already sent the presentation. So I will start now with the presentation. The first slide. Okay. In terms of the outline of the presentation, we've got a background which actually creates the context in terms of our APP. We also look at the sector objectives Very important to do that so that we demonstrate that our APPs are talking to the sector objectives, strategic overview, and under the strategic overview, Honorable Chair has requested that we leave out sections on mission, vision, and we will not dwell on those. Strategic outcome and orientated goals, we'll also not spend a lot of time on that because those are standard. You find them in all our strategic plans. And then we'll look at alignment of annual performance plan to MTSF and objectives. It's a very, very important slide to demonstrate that our APPs are not out of line when it comes to MTSF. And we will also look at alignment of our APPs to Operation Pakisa. And we will then look at the actual APP 2018-19 per program. And the last part is the acronyms. In terms of the background, we would like to say to honorable members that before we come to the generation of the APP draft, there are certain important activities which must happen. And we had this planning session in May, June 2017, where all sector role players, that is provincial departments of agriculture, our public entities, and industry stakeholders were invited. I think this is a very, very important activity in the sense that we want all stakeholders in the sector to be under one roof to collectively consider what is it that is important for the ensuing financial year. Out of this session, the sector objectives were developed for 2018-19. As a product of such a gathering, we come up with sector objectives. The sector objectives are meant to guide all the role players in the sector to align their plans with each other for the achievement of the NDP. So this gathering is aimed at creating this agreement and this collective purpose so that our plans are aligned. The plans of the provinces, the plans of the public entities, and the plans of our industry partners. It is very, very important that we pull in one direction. But we must also say, in line with that last bullet, that bringing together all these stakeholders helps us to avoid duplication. And it also helps us in terms of really making sure that we use our resources effectively and efficiently. The sector objectives developed were informed by the MTSF priorities, the 9-point plan, the RAVAC, and other government policies. After the session, once we have had that session, the department will then look at producing the first draft annual performance plan to ensure that APPs are informed by the agreed sector objectives. That is after this session. These sector objectives, now that we have emerged with sector objectives, they are also presented at other forums. We'll know, honorable members, that our honorable minister has a forum which is called Minister Service Delivery Forum, where he interacts with stakeholders on a quarterly basis. So we also, over and above, take these sector objectives to the Minister Sector Service Delivery Forum, where they also get adopted. These are the sector objectives that we came up with and we agreed to, and these are the sector objectives that must actually inform all the APPs, provincial APPs, public entities, APPs, and even industry partners, APPs. The first one is to improve food and nutrition security. This is paramount, ensuring the creation of jobs by the sector and increasing contribution to the gross domestic product, to the GDP. And we've got those contributing targets. In other words, we make sure that our APPs, the provincial, the public entities, their APPs are guided by these contributing targets. Number of small producers supported 300,000. That is an MTSF priority and target. Job increase of 500,000 by 2019 and 1 million by 2030. We reduce households vulnerable to food insecurity, in particular to hunger, to 9.5% by 2019. And this is this is according to State South Africa. Increasing the contribution of processed products to manufacturing annually by 1%, total 5% by 2019. Percentage biomass increase of stock levels in prioritized fishery sectors. Reduced vulnerability and risks associated with climate change. These are the targets that must actually inform our APPs, not only DAFs, but provinces and public entities. I will not go into the strategic overview as recommended by the Honorable Chair. These are the strategic outcomes and orientated goals. If you go to our strategic plan, which is a five-year document, you'll find these strategic goals and strategic objectives. They are standard, and they must also underpin what we are doing, you know, in terms of as a department and as provincial departments and public entities. This is the slide that is also very important, alignment of APPs to MTSF and sector objectives. On the left column, as all of us are aware that our MTSF targets are expressed through what is called, commonly referred to as outcomes. The left column therefore shows those priorities, MTSF priorities. Outcome 7, sub-outcome 3 and 4, supporting and developing smallholder producers. And then we also have outcome 4, 7 and 10. But where we are providing leadership as a department is under outcome 7, that's up outcome 3 and 4. Then we have the sector objective, which is addressing those MTSF priorities. As you can see it, then we've got the 2018-19 annual performance plan, as you see there. All those targets are aligned to the outcome 7, sub-outcome 3 and 4, and the sector objective 1 as stated there. You look at the middle column, the sector objective number 2, job increases. If you look on the right, all those targets which you'll find in our APP are talking to that sector objective. And as we know that outcome 4, 7 and 10 are also talking to issues of job creation. Then you look at outcome 4, sub-outcome 2, the productive sectors account for a growing share of production and employment. We have got in the middle column there, increase the contribution of processed products to manufacturing annually by 1%, a total of 5% by 2019. And if you look at our draft APP for 2018-19, it addresses that sub-outcome too. Number of agro-processing entrepreneurs trained on processing norms and standards, agriculture, forestry and fisheries, trade competitiveness, development plan implemented. All these targets will contribute to outcome as stated, sub-outcome 2, outcome 4. We've got outcome 7 there, under improved food security. Of course, as we implement these programs towards improved food security, there will also be, you know, creation of jobs in that whole exercise. We also have outcome 7, high impact indicator, reduction in the percentage of households vulnerable to hunger. On the far right, those are the targets that you will find in our APP, which are addressing those outcomes. We are demonstrating alignment in terms of MTSF, our sector objectives, and our APP. Then we've got outcome 10, a high impact indicator also. There is the, in the middle column, you've got our sector objective, and on the far right you've got those targets that are talking to the sector objective and the MTSF priority. Recovery plans for the two sectors, Abalone and West Coast Rock Lobster. Research reports compiled for two sectors. And climate change adaptation and mitigation plan for agriculture, forestry and fisheries, talking to outcome 10 on reduced vulnerability and risks associated with climate change impacts. Now, if you look at that slide, honorable members, that slide indicates the performance indicator as you find it in our APP 2018-19. And as you can see there, the leading program in the department will be Program 3, Food Security and Agrarian Reform. But we are giving this reflection, Chair, because here we are demonstrating that the work which is led by this program has to have inputs of provinces. And therefore, those numbers, as you see them, under the medium-term targets, 2018-19, 2019-20, and 2020-21 are consolidated figures as received from the various provinces. When we talk about number of households supported with agricultural food production, you will see that our baseline for 2017-18 was 52,480, but having received all the contributions of the provinces, for 2018-19 we've got 94,460. For 2019-20 we've got 120,720. And for 2020-21, 122,720. Those are the figures which demonstrate once more our alignment with provinces, our coordination with provinces, because these are the numbers that come from the provinces. If you look, for example, at the bottom indicator, number of smallholder producers commercialized, we have got for 2018-19, 54. 2019-20-99, 2020-21-99. Members will remember that previously that figure for 2018-19 was 450, but through deliberations which were finally expressed in the addenda of the 2017-18 APP, there were changes in terms of these commercializations. And this commercialization is actually a program that is done by us, DAF, in conjunction with the Department of Trade and Industry. And these are the figures after consultation and the interaction with DPME. It was agreed that for practical reasons, if we talk about commercialization, we can only target those numbers. But we'll talk more about that, Honorable Chair. Then if you look at forest and natural resource management, if you look at this previous slide and this slide, we are demonstrating consolidated figures between ourselves and the provinces. So for forestry, program 5, number of hectares of land rehabilitated, our baseline for 2017-18 was 16,000. And 2018, we're still sticking to 16,000 hectares, including 2019-20, 2020-21. This slide, honorable members, looks at the jobs to be created through what we will be doing. If you look at the number of jobs created through refurbishment of category B and C plantations, 2018-19, having consolidated all the figures, we are looking at that number. And you can see that that number is running through the MTF period, including 2019-20, 2020-21. Number of land care jobs, full-time equivalent, for 2018-19, 800, and that figure runs through the MTF period. Similarly, the number of full-time equivalent jobs working for fisheries program, 661, and that runs through the entire MTF period. Honorable members, you realize that we have left the number of jobs created through CAS, Benile, Malitsima, blank on that slide, and that is basically because the provinces are finalizing their business plans. The National Assessment Panel took place in January, and the provinces are busy finalizing their business plans. And we'll only know once those business plans have been finalized for 2018-19, we'll be able to reflect the true figures there in terms of jobs. Honorable Chair, this slide section looks at our alignment of our APPs with Operation Pakisa. We know that honorable members always ask to what extent are your APPs aligned to the exercise of Operation Pakisa, which you undertook previously, and we are trying to demonstrate that. If you look at the left column, those are Operation Pakisa commitments. Enhanced animal health through revolutionary veterinary services. If you look at our draft APP 2018-19, you'll find that indicator, veterinary strategy implemented. And if you look at the MTEF period, that is what we'll be doing, you know, to address that Operation Pakisa commitment. A legislative framework for animal identification and traceability. And then in 2019-20, we will be implementing policies that are related to the veterinary strategy. If you look at the second indicator, number of compulsory community service veterinarians deployed. 150 compulsory community service veterinarians deployed, and you'll see that these targets are addressing that Operation Pagisa commitment. The second one is National Livestock Census, Animal Identification and Traceability. And we do have our second indicator, which is number of animal improvement schemes for prioritized value chain commodities implemented. So that indicator is addressing that Operation Pakisa commitment. And through the MTF, we'll be reporting on these schemes. There will be reports coming, which actually will be elaborating on the work that has been done, which is targeting our livestock. We've got that Operation Pakisa commitment, livestock skills and knowledge upgrading program, aiming at upgrading the skills in that particular area. We've got that indicator, number of graduates placed in agriculture, forestry, and fisheries sector for capacity building. We've got young people that we place not only at DAF, but also we place them at various farms and industry places. The aim of this is to make sure that they acquire the necessary skills which will position them appropriately for employment. We also have the second indicator there, number of extension support practitioners deployed to commodity organizations. And as you can see, those are the numbers of deployed extension officers through the MTF period. Another Operation Pakisa commitment, dynamic business model for producer support. They came up with the concept of a blended model. And in terms of our indicators, we've got the comprehensive producer development policy to support smallholder, and it will have to be implemented in the financial year 2018-19. We also have number of smallholder producers supported and number of smallholder producers commercialized. Now, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I made it an admission at the beginning to say there is a typo on slide 18. And as you can see, the bottom part of that slide, the number of smallholder producers commercialized, that should not be 450-2018-19, 450-2019-20, and 450-2020-21. It has to align with the previous slide, which I showed Honorable Members when I showed consolidation with provinces. So that is the typo that I acknowledged at the beginning. Now, these are the Operation Pakisa commitments, Honorable Chair, and the leading program here is trade promotion and market access. We have got trade promotion, retention, and optimization. We have got several DAF indicators which are addressing this Pakisa commitment. We have got enabling environment for smallholder access to markets as an indicator. The second indicator, number of agro-processing entrepreneurs trained on processing norms and standards. We have got the third, number of commodity-based cooperatives established. And we have got the fourth, number of cooperatives supported with training. Now, if you look on the right-hand side, Honorable Members, 2018-19, 2019-20, 2020-21, MTF period, those are the targets that will be addressing that Operation Pakisa commitment and those indicators. You'll see that we still have the SA Gap certification program, which is aimed at positioning our farmers, you know, to access markets appropriately by, you know, complying to certain standards. You know, and we also have establishment of cooperatives, as you can see. Those are the targets that will be feeding into that operation. Still under this program, trade promotion and market access, we have got that indicator, market opportunity profile research report developed. This is where they look at all countries and they identify market opportunities for our farmers. And they also will be elevating the issue of trade agreements, you know, between ourselves and other countries. And if you look at the medium-term targets, those are the targets that they will be implementing. But it will be very, very interesting to look at 2018-19 targets, where they will be coming up with market opportunity profile research report. That's the type of a report which, when you look at, you'll find out more about the countries and the market opportunities which exist in those countries, which can be accessed by our farmers. And we'll also have a report, you know, in terms of how are our trade agreements performing. We've got some trade agreements. How are they performing? So we'll also have a report as something that will be delivered on in 2018. We'll also have a report on participation on trade negotiations. We always send teams out to go and participate in trade negotiations. It will be interesting to know how are these teams performing, you know, what negotiations were they involved in and what were the outcomes of such trade negotiations. Then this is Program 5, Honorable Chair, Forestry and Natural Resource, and this is the Operation Pakisa Commitment, which talks to this program, Fortified Field Management for Sustainable Livestock Production. And in our draft APP to address this Pakisa Commitment, we have got those two indicators, monitoring of agricultural land rehabilitation interventions and number of hectares of land rehabilitated. If you look at the medium-term targets, the 2018-19 will come up with a report which is based on the annual performance monitoring on agricultural land rehabilitated. And the second indicator, the targets are mainly hectares focused, the number of hectares that will be rehabilitated is 16,000 for 2018-19, and that figure runs through the entire MTF period. Then, Honorable Chair, our last program is fisheries. In terms of Operation Pakisa commitments, we have got selection and implementation of catalyst projects, and the indicator that we have in our APP, number of aquaculture catalyst projects supported. We also have this indicator, aquaculture development developed, Aquaculture Development Act developed and implemented as per Operation Pakisa. We also have number of joint operations conducted with partners, including Operation PAKISA Initiative 5. And the leading brands, as I indicated, is our fisheries. They've got four Operation PAKISA projects for 2018-19. We've got, they also have three Operation PAKISA projects supported for 2019-20. You realize, Chair, that for 2020-21 there is nothing there, and that is simply because this work started around 2013-14, and it is therefore culminating. It will be culminating in 2019-20. In terms of the PAKISA Commitment Aquaculture Development Bill, I've already indicated that an Aquaculture Development Act will be developed, and the MTF period talks to this exercise of developing the act. The number of joint operations conducted with partners, including Operation PAKISA Initiative 5, for 2018-19-40, for the following year, 42, and for the last year of the MTF, it will be 44 operation. We also wanted to demonstrate, Honorable Chair, that there will also be some alignment of our APPs with the SONA input for 2018, and we felt that we should include this so that honorable members can be satisfied that the input which we made to the SONA is not divorced from what we want to do in terms of our 2018 APPs. Having said that, I must, however, indicate that whether our input will be completely taken and be part of the SONA does not depend on us. It depends on those that are finalizing the speech. These are the areas, Honorable Chair, that we looked at in terms of our SONA input for 2018-19, and I would like to indicate that the first area is the Agricultural Graduates Placement Program. We have included that. We have also included the area on horticulture, the area on grains, the area on re-engineering agriculture, development finance, and the area on livestock. And we have got on the right column our APPs, which are talking to those areas. And I will not go through each one of them because I've already talked about them when I talked about the different programs. And you'll see that as I talk to individual programs, APPs, you'll find that they've got targets that talk to these broad areas. This slide 25 still talks to the SONA areas where our inputs were made. Export-led development approach focusing on industry with a high job multiplier, that number of hectares has been rehabilitated, climate smart agriculture, revitalization of irrigation scheme, effective biosecurity and biosafety measures and aquaculture program. As I indicated, honorable members, when we look at the individual programs, APPs, you'll find that these areas have been catered for in our draft APP. Then I will go now to programs and sub-programs, individual programs and sub-programs. The first one, Honorable Chair, is Program 1, which is focusing on administration. These are the performance indicators of program one. And the second column, Chair, is the baseline. In other words, what we will be doing, you know, in 2018-19, how did we perform on it in 2017-18? And I will not go through each line, you know, but I will make emphasis on the indicators, because the indicators are very, very important. And those are the measurements which are used by the Auditor General when they assess what we have done. We have got, under Program 1, efficient and effective risk management. Indicator 2, risk-based internal audit plan implemented. Indicator 3, business continuity plan developed and approved. IC disaster recovery plan reviewed. Master system plan reviewed. Those are the indicators for 2018-19. If you look at the far right, as I've already indicated, those are the issues that will be the focus. And remember that, honorable members, when you look at the APPs, you'll also find that these targets, if you look, for example, at 2018-19, risk management implementation plan implemented, you'll find that in the APP, detailed APP, you also have milestones on a quarterly basis, which actually contribute towards achieving that. But if you look at the MTF as reflected here, we're just focusing on targets for the year and not for the quarter. If you look at the, let me just take this, the second one, risk-based internal audit plan implemented, you know, and then you look at 2018-19, they will focus on annual risk-based internal audit plan implemented. As I've indicated, if you go to the draft plan, you'll find there are quarterly work, how spread it is. Then I'll go to the next slide. Still under program one, you've got number of bills submitted to the minister. And I would also want to make this correction, honorable members. For that indicator, number of bills submitted to minister, you realize that for 2017-18, our baseline is 3. 2018-19, it will be 2. 2019-20, it's not 33, supposed to be 3. 3, not 33, 3. We want to make that correction. Then you've got the second indicator, HRD strategy implemented. You also have a communication strategy implemented. You also have stakeholder engagement strategy implemented. And you have sector information management system strengthened. And on the far right, those will be the annual targets that this program will focus on, you know. You'll have, for example, the bottom one, sector, on the sector information management system strengthened. If you look at 2018-19, there will be a report on sector economic and statistical information outlook. This is still part of program one, because as members will remember, Program 1 administration consists of a number of units. It's the DG's office, it is the Chief Financial Office, it is PPME. So that's why we have got quite a bulky number of indicators. Agricultural Information Management System, AIMS, implemented. project management methodology for the department institutionalized sector research agenda monitored. And I just would like to look at this one, project management methodology for the department institutionalized. What is it that will be happening? Four project verification reports submitted to EXCO. What actually happens is that on a quarterly basis, Honorable Chair, there's a team which is going to visit the projects to look at whether these projects are going according to the business plan, the original business plan, and whether they are within the prescribed time frame, and whether in terms of expenditure, you know, they are within the recommended time frames and the expenditure lines that have been set. So what they will be doing in 2018, they will do four project verification reports, and this will be quarterly, okay? And if you look at the last indicator there, sector research agenda monitored, this is an ongoing work. One of our responsibility is to make sure that we implement research projects, and one work which will be done will be to monitor this work. And this will happen throughout the MTF period. Now, these are the financials. We made sure, Honorable Chair, that we also reflect on the financials which will support the achievement of the targets that are in the APPs. You will see that we have got ministry there, the allocated budget. Then you've got financial administration, you've got internal audit, you've got corporate services, which is mainly dealing with our HR services, you've got stakeholder relations, communications, policy planning, monitoring and evaluation, and we've got office accommodation. That will define the expenditure under this program administration. But we've also highlighted earmarked funds, in other words, funds that are still expected by this program. You know, some of the sources are the Primary Agriculture Sector Education and Training Authority. We also have the Forestry Sector, Fiber Processing and Manufacturing Sector Education and Training Authority, and the National Research Foundation and the Agricultural Census. These are the monies that are expected, that will, are still expected to be received by this program. Then the second program, Honorable Chair, is Program 2. Agricultural production health.
Can you increase the pace?
Okay. Okay. So.
That's why I'm saying my increase.
Okay. I'll just focus on indicators, Chair, and honorable members. This is for Program 2. Number of animal improvement schemes, and these things have already been reflected when we're indicating our commitments, demonstrating our the relationship between our APPs and the particular commitments. We've got number of plant improvement schemes for prioritized value chain commodities implemented, and number of plant animal disease risk surveillances conducted. I will not go into the MTF targets, Chair, for the sake of time. Then you also have that indicator, number of plant pest risk surveillance conducted, number of regulatory compliance and monitoring interventions implemented, veterinary strategy implemented. The only difference is here that they are now aligned to the responsible program. But some of them have already been mentioned when we're talking about commitments to PAKISA, alignment between APPs and PAKISA commitments. Still under this program, Honorable Chair, number of compulsory community service, a very important indicator. National plan to conserve diversity of plant genetic resources for food and agriculture implemented. Number of indigenous road conservation projects monitored. Go to these are the financials, Honorable Chair, for this program. This is what they will spend in terms of these, and it also shows the sources of these funds, the bottom part of that slide. I'll also go to the next program is Food Security and Agrarian Reform, Chair. We've got those indicators, number of reports on national food and nutrition security interventions developed, food and nutrition security baseline assessments conducted in provinces, number of graduates placed in agriculture, forestry and fisheries sector for capacity development. National policy on extension and advisory services implemented. This is the policy that was developed, and now it will be implemented in 2018-19. Still on indicators, deployment of extension support practitioners to commodity organizations, and national policy on comprehensive producer development support implemented. So 2018-19, we'll see this policy being implemented by this program. Chair, I will not go into this again because we've already shown it at the beginning. These are the consolidated figures because they include contributions of provinces, number of households supported, number of hectares planted, number of extension officers. I talked about this earlier, so I will not go into it. These are the financials, Honorable Chair, in terms of this program and where the funds will be coming from. You can see that we have got CASP infrastructure, CASP extension recovery, CASP upgrading of agricultural colleges. These are the CASP funds as received by DAF. Trade promotion and market access program 4. Those are the indicators, Honorable Chair and members. Enabling environment for smallholder access to markets, number of agro-processing entrepreneurs trained, number of commodity-based cooperatives established, number of cooperatives supported with training, and Agri-BE enforcement guidelines developed. BEE sector codes for agriculture and forestry implemented, market opportunity profile research report, and trade agreements implemented. And international relations strategy implemented. Those are the financials. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and there is also a reflection on earmarked funds. I'll run now. Forestry and natural resource management, we have got those indicators, Chair, number of hectares planted in temporary unplanted areas, recommissioning of Western Cape State Forest plantations, agroforestry strategy framework implemented, monitoring of agricultural land rehabilitation interventions, number of hectares of state indigenous forests rehabilitated. As indicated, some have already been mentioned before when we were addressing the PAKISA commitments. Still under Program 5, number of projects to support revitalization of irrigation schemes implemented, climate change adaptation and mitigation plan for agriculture, forestry and fisheries implemented, climate smart agriculture strategy framework approved. And those will be the financials relating to program 5. And the last program chair will be fisheries. You've got those indicators, number of aquaculture catalyst projects supported, small-scale aquaculture support program developed and implemented, Aquaculture Act developed and implemented as per Operation Pakisa. We also have number of aquaculture research projects conducted. And then we also have commercial fishing rights allocated and small-scale fisheries policy implemented. We also have sustainable management of fish stock, number of inspections conducted, and number of joint operations conducted with partners, including Operation Pakisha Initiative 5. We also have number of investigations conducted, and those will be the financials, which also indicate earmarked funds, Honorable Chair. This is just the acronyms. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG. I'm now going to allow honorable members to have questions and have the presentation. We'll be breaking at 1 o'clock for bigger lunch. So now I'm going to use these 15 minutes to take all the questions. Then when we come back, we'll then have a response. Maybe at the beginning of this, the background, you know, you made me to be reminded on how department is planning engagement with the stakeholders. And if you can elaborate that part back again, how do they make input into your processes? And because that's the only way you will get commitment with the stakeholders. This forum of the minister, how does it come with the planning process? Or you plan and then after you then invite them, or you invite them, they make input when planned, because there is a difference between if you invite them, then you invite their input, and as part of planning, then you include their views in your planning. But it is just for clarity, whether or after that, or if the question that you go, you plan alone and go and inform them about the objectives or their part of it. Because you see, with agriculture, if we don't manage issue of coherence, would not actually achieve all the targets it would be achieving. I want you to go through that process just to get clarity before we go into questions or you'll start by that when you come to a response to question. Let's get the Honorable Maloy, Honorable Handal, Honorable Stein, Honorable Sultana, Honorable Kruka, Honorable Mapanga, Honorable Kapa. Maximum 5. I'll appreciate
Chair,
you
the first question. The two bills which or the two legislation which you intend to submit to the minister, do they have names maybe? If yes, you can just tell us what are the names of those bills. The second question, you know, the President of the Republic of South Africa in February last year made a pronouncement that 2017-2018 we are going to commercialize 450 black farmers. Now you have changed. you are saying 2018, 2019, it will be 54, then the other financial year it will be 99, and so on. What happened here? I'm not sure as to what is the situation. And you will recall that when we are interacting with you, we are saying it will be 50 per province and so on. So they say there's a lot of confusion. I no longer know what's happening. Because, you know, when you say it will be 54 in the next financial year, 18-19, it means it's 6 per province. So it means you are moving far, 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 far away from what the president said. So I'm not sure who's calling the shots between the executive president and ourselves. The second question is climate smart agriculture strategy. I suppose it was developed in 2017-18. In your documents, you are saying it will be approved in 2018-19. So does this mean that the DG is going to take the whole financial year to approve a strategy which was developed in the previous financial year? The last question, which is a worry to me, I know that you are doing this thing in consultation with provinces. Hectares to be planted for food production is reducing. That is on your slide 40. Is it because of the drought in the Western Cape, or why is it reducing? And so, because once we reduce, it means that we are going to have problems going forward. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Honourable Chairperson. If I look at on page 31, and I specifically look at the financials of the administration, and then I go to the budget document on budget vote 24, then there's quite a bit of a difference between the expenditure or the proposed expenditure. When you look at the ministry, they say that there are one or two that I picked up that is totally different. It is the corporate services one, which the budget estimate says is going to be 186 in our budget vote, and it's only 12 million now. So why is there such a big difference? And then you have stakeholder relations, communication, and legal services, which is budgeted for 80 million, the estimate, and it says on your proposal or on your estimate, it says 216 million. So why is there such a big difference in these amounts? If budgeted was 200 million for office accommodation, I mean, surely office accommodation is not something you can cut with 100 million rand. How did that happen? Can you maybe just elaborate on that for me? These amounts don't look like they add up with a real one in the budget, which is exactly the same format as this one. If you look on page 456 of the budget. Thank you. Maybe you can explain that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I was hoping that we're going to get more on baseline, and it was interesting that mention was made on one of the slides that if you look on the second column, it talks about baseline. Although the baseline told me nothing, I specifically went there to go and look for baseline, and I will make an example, and I make it every year, and I will continue making it until I get it checked. It doesn't help me when we get revitalization of, what is that word? When we improve hectares, that we improve our rehabilitation of land. I think in this one specifically it says 16,000. Out of how many? Chair, and I'm not sure if we need the census to give us that or what. I'm not convinced that we are improving. And the reason why I want baseline is that every year we will say 16,000 hectares or 15 or 20 or 500 or whatever the point is or the number is, but we don't know if we're winning. Because I don't know if you are giving me the same 16,000 hectares every year. Because, Chair, we don't get feedback.
We don't get the hectares of where the rehabilitation. So the 16,000 of last year, the previous year, 10 years before, where was that? Can we go and visit it and see what impact was made? So that we know we had 500 million hectares in the beginning and we're now moving towards 300 million or whatever. I don't know if the budget we are spending is spending correctly and we are improving lives of the people. And I asked that question when we spoke about the number of hungry people in South Africa. I am not sure that the budget that's spent by this department and the program are impacting on the lives of the people. So if we don't get that, Minister, we need to get to understand what are we talking about. We talk and spend budget, but I don't see any progress on the ground. So that's my point on everything. If you're telling me you're going to train 325 farmers to do whatever, out of how many, which areas, what is going to be the impact, so that we can start seeing if there's the impact. For instance, Chairperson, on slide 22, there was something that says a number of joint operations, according to Pakisa. I don't know if the joint operations got to do with conduct special and joint operations with all law enforcement agencies. If that has got to do with livestock stealing or whatever, if we can just maybe... You don't have to tell me where the joint operations is going to be, because then we're also going to tell the skeletons, but at least give us some indication what is that for and how it will assist. Chairperson, in all these documents, where then the department gives us areas, and I'm thinking of the goats, four goats operations or something in Limpopo, where is that? We want names beforehand so that when we plan as a portfolio committee this year to go and go oversight, we know beforehand. In the APP, the department says they're going to do improvement of goats in Limpopo in these areas. So when we visit, we know we can go and visit a specific area. And everything that you already have said in here, if you have an APP and you can say to me four, in this province, you are supposed to know where. So I want that, and I'm sure the chair will support me on that. As a portfolio, we get a document on everything that you are planning and put a budget towards so that we can go and do oversight. Chairperson, what does it mean to say commercialization of smallholder farmers? What are we going to do to them? Are we going to say, you're now commercial? Or what does it mean? What is the definition for that? The 600 million that was set aside for monitoring and evaluation, I can't remember if that was only for 2015-16 or it was for over 3 years. Remember, there was 60 million set aside. How was it put to use in this year? Have we gotten somewhere? Then just on the section speaking about forestry, there's an amount set aside for floods. I can't remember the amount. Is there anything set aside for drought? We had this meeting last week, the joint meeting with, and I think the department needs a angle of a lot of money, and 500 million will be given in this budget towards the water and drought. I want to know if this department has put anything towards drought. And lastly, Chair, under the section for trade and promotion, there's something that speaks about the status report to AU and SADC obligations that need to be reported on and monitoring. Just last week, there was a report from the AIE. Now, the report came long ago, but there's a letter that was sent to the game industry to say that we will now stop exports to the EU because of the fact that this department can't do residue testing. What does it help if we say that we can, you know, monitor the requirements for the EU, but we can't do the required testing? I want to know from the department, outside of residue testing, what other testing is this department supposed to be doing and we can't do that impacts on our exports? because of financial or other capacity problems that we are sitting with. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable for time, 2, 3 minutes to 1, so I'm not sure whether we can do it in that.
Okay. Should I proceed?
And you'll finish at 1.
Yeah, I will. Okay, okay, first. Well, sir, my starting point, my approach is about what is not reflected here, which I would have, and I think correctly, expected to be reflected. I think the baseline here, just as my colleague Honorable Stein has indicated, is what percentage, in other words, this plan, what does it seek to address, you know, based on what? Now, with over 10 million people who, on a daily basis, battle to know what meal they are going to get, I would have expected that this department would be looking at its budget from that perspective, food security. The title is fine, but I don't see that being addressed in a more comprehensive way than, you know, than what you have reflected here. And as such, I didn't see a statement that says that your expenditure is going to address is going to have a socio-economic impact of this much on the status quo. It continues to bother so many South Africans that there are so over 10 million people who are never sure of getting any meal on any given day. And I think this is the department that should make that you know, their primary concern. What are you doing about that? What sort of impact are we looking at? Secondly, transformation is the buzzword in government corridors nowadays. I know that in the recent past we have been mentioning, you know, that term time and time again in this department, that there needs to be transformation. I can see that in your programs you seem to be addressing that, but when there is absolutely no reference to say that we're going to have X, Y in percentage impact on transforming the department, then the purpose, you know, where your aim to hit transformation gets lost, because we don't have anything by which we can measure your performance as the year progresses, you know, because you haven't even indicated it in your draft after so many meetings, including the Department of Monitoring. I'm surprised that they have not drawn your attention to that. How are you going to impact transformation or effective? Number three, what has happened, Chair, to that program which Rural Development sought to deposit with you? And you said in the last year that you didn't have a budget for it, and Rural Development said they didn't have a specific budget line for it. What happened to that program? We will not, as public reps, be comfortable to have another financial year starting without that issue of that program being addressed and finalized. I appreciate the fact that it may not be your exclusive concern. You probably have got to confer with the Department of Monitoring or with the presidents and what have you. But, Chair, I'll only be happy when I hear this department addressing the issue of that program in its APP. Second last. How much are you planning to spend on consultants? I'm asking this question, Chair, because ever so often, the amount of money that government departments spend on consultants, while at the same time indicating that they are short staffed, and then we see millions per annum going to consultants. This is what makes me to want to know, how much are you going to spend on consultants? I am not saying it is wrong. You're supporting the private sector, but we need to know as public rest so that when we approve the budget, we know exactly who is going to get how much. Lastly, with regard to the hubs that are under your management, public works have been declared by the Auditor General last year to be having no basic maintenance plan at all for the facilities that you use. Are you planning to spend any money towards the maintenance of the hubs which are under your management right across the country? This is a very, very critical question. I hope nobody will try to, I hope the department will give us a specific answer to that. If you haven't planned, I would request you to definitely make a plan. What we saw as Public Works Portfolio Committee is quite pathetic. You go to Hout Bay, you'll see what I'm talking about.
So you need to protect your personnel and create an environment where trade can carry on effectively. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Sharp on the spot. Honorable members, let's break for lunch and reconvene. Because lunch is here, we can take 30 minutes. Thank you very much. Let's break for lunch and we'll come back.